Hey guys, quick intro before the podcast starts. Our guest today is Ben Paik from Wobey Design. And on the Modern Maker Podcast Instagram, at Modern Maker Podcast, we posted a quick post with a lot of his work, pretty much everything we talk about in the episode. So if you want to get familiar with what he does before the episode starts, head on over to the Modern Maker Podcast Instagram, check that post out, and don't forget to give Ben at Wobey Design a follow as well. Now let's get the episode started. Hey everybody, and welcome to the Modern Maker Podcast. Today is April 5th, 2018, and we've got a special treat for you today. My name is Mike Montgomery from Modern Builds. With me as always, Chris Salamone from Four Eyes Furniture.
What's up?
And we have a special guest, a Ben of types, not the Ueta. We have Ben Paik from Wobey Design.
Hey.
Doing his best Ben imitation.
So I'm out here in, what town are we in outside of LA?
La Mirada.
La Mirada, for any of you who know that. I'm sitting in Chris's parents' rec room with Chris and Ben, and we're sitting down chatting, talking about what we're building. So it makes sense that we should just record it and have a good podcast.
That's right. It's three guys sitting around drinking waters.
Exactly. So I feel like we should go ahead and do the quick intro. Every time we have a guest, we like to give them a couple minutes to talk about themselves, what they like to build, why they like to build it, where they're from, and kind of how long they've been doing it maybe. So you're from LA.
Yes, I'm from downtown LA.
Arts District.
Arts District.
Baby.
Yes.
Baby.
The nicer part of downtown.
Exactly. Yeah. And you build things completely out of skateboards.
Yes. I started building about 2 years ago. I built a workshop out of my parents' house, and I literally just started working with skateboards.
Why skateboards? Now, I mean, I think most people listening, most people started either start with like Anna White kind of 2x4 plywood
right, stuff.
Or they get into the like hardwood, the like the Woodcraft Rockler store, like nice S4S walnut and stuff, right?
I think it's really, it determines where, you know, what's really more available for you around you.
Okay.
So like Paul Jackman, he would use pallet wood all the time because it's available. So LA is one of the biggest cities in terms of skateboarding culture, and there's a lot of skate shops around.
Yeah.
And I got to meet up with a couple of skate shop owners, and they had a bunch of broken skateboards all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's a weekly thing, it's a daily thing.
So just kids like break their board, come in, get a new setup, and leave the old one?
Right. They would leave the old one, and that's where I come in, collect it. And
do they have to give the kids like a little kickback, like a couple bucks, or do you have to pay?
No, it's to them.
Do they charge you for the skateboard?
No, just give them. They don't.
How are you greasing the hinges here?
So what I do is I usually talk to the skate shop, say, "Hey, say I'm a woodworker and I make things out of skateboards. So I'll make you something in exchange if you save some for me."
Mm,
and a lot of times they do because they find it really unique.
Yeah.
And I got to a point where I built a relationship, and now they just call me when they have things ready.
Yeah.
And so it's a good exchange.
Totally, yeah. So what are some of the things? Well, I feel like before we even talk about that, like what are some of the things you build? So you do a little bit of furniture.
Yes.
You do a little bit of art and kind of like the smaller stuff as well, right?
Yeah, and where can people see your stuff actually? Because they might want to check it out while they're listening.
My Instagram account is called Wobey Design, W-O-B-Y Design. And I started off with making clocks, and then I went from planters and then bottle openers, and then I went to coffee tables, wall art, recording studio table. I made a stool out of skateboards.
Wow.
I mean, really, there's really endless limits on what you could make with skateboards.
And there's a lot of different ways you can make things unique with skateboards, right?
Right. So there's different sections of skateboards that you could use as a building material. And that's kind of what I'm trying to focus on.
So if we deconstruct a skateboard, it's essentially maple plywood. It's all maple, right?
It's
that
seven.
Makes the best board.
It's usually averaged out about seven different maple veneers.
What's so great about maple?
Maple hard. Is super hard.
Yeah.
And they laminate it so that it's alternating grain. Mm-hmm. So it's bendy at the same time. It's not going to break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why a lot of skateboards are made like that. So it has a pop, but it doesn't break when you land on it.
Killer. And what's awesome about skateboards is usually they have every other ply is a different color.
Yeah.
And so that's where a lot of the creativity kind of comes from, is using those colors in unique ways and different patterns.
Right. A lot of the work goes into making the pattern itself.
Right.
And so, yeah. It's nice, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay. So we deconstruct the board. It's basically like really thin veneers. Really,
mm-hmm.
Like maybe a 32nd.
The thickness of skateboards after all seven plies are laminated is about 3/8 of an inch.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. And so you've got all of these plies, and the goal is to make usable lumber. And so for people that haven't ridden a skateboard, it's not just a flat board. It's got a concave nature to it, and it's got tails on the.
Maybe longboards might be straight.
Yeah, a longboard maybe. But like a traditional board, it's also got the tail and everything on it. So it's just not a flat board. So you got to turn that into stock.
Right. There's about two different concaves. There's one that goes horizontal and one that goes vertical.
Okay.
And at the ends of each skateboard, there's a nose and a tail.
Right.
And so you need to cut it up into pieces.
Okay.
Where...
So that's how you take the bulk of the bend out, is just by cutting it into different pieces.
So in the middle portion is where it's going to be the longest and has the least amount of concave.
Okay.
So what I do with that is you could get up to about, I want to say 14 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to cut it into strips vertically. And when you do that, the concave isn't so much. So when you cut it into... maybe the widest you could do is probably about 1 inch.
So like 1 by 14 inch strips is what you end up with. Okay.
1 by 13 inch by 3 1/8. Eighths.
Yeah.
And it comes pretty flat enough that you could just glue it up.
Pressure.
And then press it.
Yeah.
And make something out of that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so then do you then like edge glue them together to make thicker pieces if you needed to? Like say you needed a leg that... Say somehow, let's just pretend you needed to make a 4 by 4 by 10 inch leg. Would that be possible to do?
Yes, it is very possible. So let's say one board, middle section, it's about 8 inches width, 14 inches long.
Okay.
All you got to do is you got to stack it up until you get 4 inches.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And that's pretty much, I think, the biggest point of what I do is laminating things together is such a huge factor because I have to laminate at least once.
Right.
To get some kind of working material that I could use consistently.
Yeah, do you ever do it? Like, is it always based on the project, or do you ever just like not necessarily have anything to build and just like, I'm just going to glue up blanks
so that when I have something. I did that for a while, I was just gluing things up and see how far I could take it, how big of a piece that I could make so that I could use that as a material. Lately, I've been realizing that I could just save each cuts into different sections. So nose and tails, I save them and I usually get about 8 inches wide.
Yeah,
probably about 6 inches high.
Yeah, you gave me a couple of them when you came down.
Yeah, I actually gave Mike a laminated glue up for a bowl blank.
Ooh, that's what it is, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, when I get back to the lathe.
Yeah, you can make a bowl out of it.
Awesome.
I made a couple, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, you could ask me if you want, but...
very and nice.
Yeah, so... yeah, it really comes down to how you're gluing it up.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, lately, I think about 2 months ago, I made a press, hydraulic press with a bottle jack.
Beautiful.
And that seems to work really well with the concaves, and there's no seams. And
you're just able to get more even pressure, a lot more pressure. Because a
lot more.
That's the tough part, though, is if you have a gap in your glue-up, that's kind of that piece is kind of shot.
Right. It's going to be so much easier to just break and kind of fall apart because you have that little gap. Yeah.
Awesome. So you just dove straight into skateboards.
Straight into skateboards.
What was the tough part about starting out with skateboards? Because to do that, you need specialty tools, right? So a lot of people can start with a circular saw, a drill, maybe a table saw.
Right. That's the thing. No one wrote a book about it. No one knows how to do it. And I think that's the joy that I was getting. It's because no one's telling me, you can't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. I'm figuring everything on my own. And there's not a special tool that they designed so that you could rip up skateboards.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to start relating that to woodworking and what kind of, you know, what do I do when I have end grains and end grain to end grain or something like that. So I would go back and forth. You look at your channel, look at Chris's channel, look at Ben's channel, and see what I could do and what kind of tools that I could use to break these boards down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So skateboards kind of have challenges in a way. You say it's got a tendency to chip out a lot because of that alternating grain. I mean, you're essentially gluing really dense plywood.
Yeah, and I guess that's, you're always, something that you're touching is always end grain.
Exactly.
And something is,
everything's end grain. Right. If you're cutting with your table saw or any blades, all that glue is going to get onto the saw blades.
Yeah, I was going
to
say,
so probably, you need to get that sharpened every single, couple weeks.
Yeah. Interesting. A lot harder on the equipment.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So we've been building a stool while you're here.
Yes.
You're not out of skateboards. You're down here for a few days, and it's not out of skateboards. No.
No.
You built something similar out of skateboards.
I did. I got the idea from the stool that I made from the skateboard, but I realized not everyone has access. So you could easily do this, what, 3 dowels?
Yeah. So we picked up, we actually just used some scrap plywood that we had laying around the shop, some 3/4 inch pine plywood. Glued up a seat blank for that, and then while we're at Home Depot, picked some 1 1/4 inch dowels up, and it's just 3 dowels for the legs, through dowels, so you get to see the dowels from the top.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool, you get to see the layers of the plywood being carved out for the seat recess, and then the grain of the dowels comes through the top as well. So you're getting to mix the veneers of the plywood for that kind of industrial look in a way, an inorganic look, paired with that wood grain, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's got that same look like the lamp that you made
exactly.
A couple months ago.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun, and we've been experimenting with materials while we're down here, because who's the guy to do it with than the guy that doesn't use normal wood? And so instead of normal stretchers or any kind of metal stretchers, we use bungee cords as the foot stretchers. And it's surprisingly sturdy.
It looks nice.
Yeah,
I was so surprised. I mean, we were just kind of messing around with it. We're trying to say, oh, should we add a brace?
Does it things need like, one?
Does
do
it
we
need
even
one?
Do it? Right.
And then Ben Ueda comes out of nowhere. He's like, use bungee cords. And
then you play around with bungee cords for 15 minutes and you come up with a cool idea.
It was almost done by a mistake too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were spacing out the bungee cords. At first, we thought, okay, let's try one.
Yeah.
It's not strong enough.
No.
Your foot just sinks. It can't support a foot if you want to use it as a foot rest. So next step is add a couple more bungee cords. When they're all lined up, it's too bulky and it looks strange. Mm-hmm. So then we're talking about spacing them out maybe an inch apart from each one. And in the process of moving them,
I think I moved the one side.
That's what I was about to say. I was a little ahead of myself, and I moved the one side before you got a chance to move any.
Yeah.
We took a step back and we're like, wait a second.
That looks nice.
That looks cool. Yeah.
So they're not all the same height?
No. So that's the cool thing about it is, say the stretcher
Where your foot goes is the same height.
Where your foot goes, the front stretcher is even. So on two pegs are even. Yeah. One peg is spaced out about 2 inches per bungee cord.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. So it's together at one part and then widens out.
Exactly. Right. If the footrest is about 6 inches from the ground,
mm-hmm.
on the back side, it is even with one cord. And then the next bungee cord is 4 inches and the bungee cord on the bottom comes down to 2 inches.
Nice.
So it's a cool kind of faceted triangular shape paired with the whole roundness of the stool, mm-hmm. which is pretty fun.
Nice. Yeah, and it gives you, I guess, that pop of color that you're missing with not using skateboards.
Yeah, right.
Finally get that back in there.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we shot that. We assumed, or at least I assumed, if we're building something and not filming it, well, that's just a waste of time.
Yeah. Don't be
that means you're not doing your job.
Right. You can't just build things for fun, right? You got to have a camera rolling.
Right.
And so that video is going to be on my channel in the next week or so. I think it'll be cool if, because Ben only does Instagram.
Right.
But.
Yeah.
What's up?
I hate listening to myself talk.
So do a podcast.
I actually made a couple videos. And I was close to done editing, and I started watching it. I was like, I hate myself, and mm-hmm. I just
like you were talking in them and doing a voiceover and everything.
I was
or what?
Trying to talk like Mike. I was like, hey, welcome to the Wolby Design,
time,
and
Martin
I'm
Bills.
Making things out of recycled skateboards.
Yeah.
And as soon as I heard it, I was like, nope, scratch it.
Yeah, you gotta use your own voice.
Right,
that's right.
Yeah. And so I scratched that, and Ben and Mike happened to be in Joshua Tree, so I was like, you know what, let's learn a thing or two.
Yeah.
About YouTube game.
How's it been?
It's amazing. I'm learning literally every single second, I feel like. And, you know, it's just, it's really nice to have somebody to talk to in person as well. So yeah, it's been amazing.
It's nice getting quick answers to questions. Yeah. Like from learning about doing this podcast or meeting other makers in person, it's just, it's nice being able to just get immediate response for the questions or the hunches that you think you're going on that might be right.
So let me ask you this then. Assuming that you're going to go on and make some YouTube videos, will you talk in them?
See, that's the biggest, I think, dilemma that I'm having right now. Do I want to be like Mike Montgomery, or do I want to be like Laura Comp?
Yeah.
You know, or Jimmy DiResta?
You got
to
be Ben.
I want to be, yeah, exactly. I want to have a mix of a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And easy to watch, entertaining, informative as well, and hope you learn something as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you would bring a really interesting perspective to YouTube because, one, it's a material that I think a lot of people are interested in, but what you just said a few minutes ago is there is no book. There's no one that's already putting the content out about how to make the blinks, about how to achieve certain patterns. And we can talk about that even, too, the idea of how, you know, everybody's kind of constantly stepping up their game and, you know, different thing. Something becomes unimpressive just as fast as it becomes impressive.
Exactly.
But first I want to talk about the idea of you starting a channel. Is are you going to do something with skateboards and bungee cords? You just doing something with bungee cords? How's it going to work? Because I gotta send people to your channel and they got to have a video to watch.
I think I'm going to start small. Make something very... Probably try to go from beginning level to expert level.
Okay.
And hopefully I could go in that order, but most likely not.
Yeah.
So I'll probably start off something easy like a bottle opener, or maybe a pallet wood coasters that I used to make.
Yeah, you made those. But you say pallet wood coasters, but they were out of skateboards.
They're out of skateboards.
They're not out of pallet
wood. It looks like a pallet, but it's out of skateboard and it's a coaster.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think one thing that's interesting is because pretty much no matter what you make, straight off the bat, it's going to have an interesting angle just from the fact that it's made out of skateboards.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But you couldn't rest on that. It's going to get old.
Right.
And then it has to become about like, okay, now you have to... I mean, not saying that you're not doing something cool with a skateboard, but straight out of the gate, just using the skateboard is interesting. After five videos, maybe that's not that interesting anymore.
Right.
And it's now, what are you doing with it to like push it to the next level once the gimmick part of it is
gone. So I think there is a little bit of stages and stages of how you start making things out of skateboards. I would say at first you look at a graphic or something, you're like, oh, I like that graphic. So you're gonna cut that out, cut out one piece of that from that skateboard, and I don't know, make it into a wall art or frame it. That's level one.
But that's the...
You're not doing anything to the skateboard itself.
Yeah.
You're just cutting a piece of a skateboard. Right. A ring, maybe. You could just cut a circle hole and you got a ring right there.
Oh, nice.
And
yeah.
So that's, I think, most likely a beginner level.
Yeah.
If you want to do something that's catching other people's eyes, you have to glue it up at least once.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Right.
Number two, you need to have patterns that other people haven't thought about.
Right, because it seemed like whenever I first became aware of your stuff and a few other channels, like Focused, it Focused Woodworks or Focused?
Let's just say Focused.
We'll link them in the Instagram description and a couple other people. Is the like impressive things, or at least what was really impressive to me, was people gluing up big blanks.
Right.
Like the biggest tabletop you can make, or the biggest piece of wall art you can make. Because once again, a skateboard is 13 inches long.
Right.
And so if you're making an 8-foot long panel, until you kind of wrap your head around of like, okay, this is how they're doing it, or at least in my head, what I thought people were doing, that initial shock and awe is really big. But then you sort of get accustomed to that, and then it becomes less impressive.
Right.
So I guess, like, what's the process for making a big panel in a way? Like the short of it, obviously.
So the biggest panel that I made was about 8 feet long, and I know guys who do it up to like 20 feet long. Focus Skateboards does about 20 feet long. They're from Amsterdam Rotterdam. The most basic way to explain this, you're cutting into strips and connecting those strips butt to butt.
Oh, yeah.
Up until just however long you want to go. Mm-hmm. And you stack the next board up. Just keep doing that until you get a consistent one smooth line from one point to the other.
Killer. Yeah.
Can you put them through a planer?
I would say if it's 14 inches long or 12 inches long, then yes. You have to put it through the grain as well as
so when you say with the passes. Grain, that's basically with the flow of the colors,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like you've
been I did it before, like, and I tried to do like maybe like 6 inches, 4 inches, and yeah, it started popping inside the planer. So I would not suggest you do it if you don't know what you're doing. But planers are,
that's why you use a drum sander.
Right, that's why I got a drum sander. Because some, you know, most of the skateboards that I get are broken in half. Mm-hmm. So I don't get 14 inches. I only get probably like 6 inches, maybe sometimes even 2 inches. Mm-hmm. So I need to put that through something to sand it down smooth so it's flat. And so I got a drum sander.
Dope. So if large panels are normal now.
It's about
patterns.
Everybody knows that it can be done.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing, I think.
Yeah. So now it's about finding unique patterns or ways of bringing out the colors in different ways, which is something you're working with. But yeah, talk about that. Yeah.
So, majority of the recycled skateboard woodworkers are using the strips of it. Yeah. So they would cut the middle portions, run it through the table saw, maybe, I don't know. Half an inch, quarter inch, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they would flip it to the side and have all these stripes showing.
Okay.
Whereas what I've been trying to work on is trying to have the skateboard's top face of the grain showing.
Okay.
And so it'll be one solid color instead of seven different stripes. Right. Because honestly, stripes could get really boring easily. And when you keep doing the same thing over and over again, and you don't have control of what kind of colors you're getting with the stripes, and you have seven different colors, and it just looks really messy at the end.
It can get really busy. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you, let's say, you just only collect blue skateboards, and several different companies make this, so all companies have different blues, and let's say you just put that on a plywood, it looks so much better. As well as if you put a pattern on that, it looks amazing.
Right. It's really impressive because, like we were saying, you've got seven plies taking up a total span of 3/8 of an inch.
3/8 of an inch.
So a single ply is, you know, around a 32/64 of an inch.
Yeah.
And so
you don't have that much room to play with.
Yeah. So you've got about a 64th of color, and then it's down to raw. Like, then you have
the next color. Yeah.
The next color is just usually blank. Yeah. Maple. And so if you sand through that veneer, you almost are like screwed.
You're screwed. Wow. Whatever work you probably, let's say 3 days to rip down the boards, decrip the tape, sand it down, glue it together, cut it into pieces, and then glue it up together. All that goes to waste because, all that color's showing through. And it's really, it's a gamble.
Yeah.
It's a gamble.
It's like, you're a gamble. You're just screwed.
You're just screwed.
But that's what's cool, though. So you have to pull from, like, 20 different boards to be able to get a panel of this glued up.
Yeah.
And so it'll be a solid red surface, like the Supreme sign you made.
Yes.
But it's got a million different shades of red.
Right.
And so it's like this patchwork where everything comes together, but it's got enough variance that it's just super organic and super neat. And was that the first thing that you used that technique on?
No, I actually made a coffee table a long time ago. I think you talked about this on the podcast.
I might have. You're going to have to jog my memory.
Mountain wall art.
Ooh.
Remember
that?
Yeah. So I've seen a lot of people do mountain wall art out of pallet wood and they paint it.
Totally. Yeah.
And if you paint it, you can't sand it down flat. So I wanted to have a flat coffee table with colors. And how do I do that with skateboards? And so I was like, can I experiment with this and flip it? When everybody's doing on the sides and showing the stripes, can I show just one solid color?
Right.
And so that's what I did. And it actually came out. I got really lucky. And
on attempt one.
On attempt one, I got it right. And I was like, all right, this is where I'm going.
Awesome. And so... That one was pretty impressive. One, it was a good size. It was, what, 3 feet about?
The table was 4x2, and I made a wall art version that was about, I want to say, 2 feet in diameter.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And so, from that, what you learned was, one, they can be flipped on their face instead of on their edge, mm-hmm. and you can get solid colors.
Yes.
Did you sand through any of the layers? Did you have any mistake where you're
not that
where you kind of found the boundaries?
Not the mountain wall art. I recently made one, kind of messing around with the fade and making, trying to make it fade mm-hmm. halfway so that it looks a little bit of...
To create like a gradient.
Right.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out.
What's a good example of something on your Instagram, selfishly I'm asking, because I want to look right now, that displays what you're talking about right now, like that kind of pattern fade thing?
Fourth or fifth picture. Yeah, six, seven, eight.
Yeah, so this is what you've been working
on. Anything that you see a little circle with a bunch of different colors or the sun.
Like this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you look at,
Okay. Yeah. I can't even wrap my head around how it goes together looking at it.
So what kind of makes sense is like the further you get removed from the original material is what's becoming more and more impressive in a way. So it's kind of it's strange because what you were just saying a little while ago is that the further you get from stripes and the further you get from cutting things out of a solid board, the less it looks like it came from a skateboard.
Yeah, is what you're saying, Mike? So initially, the interesting or the impressive thing could be saying, oh, wow, look at that. It's made out of skateboards. But then as you get even deeper, the actual impressive thing would look at it and be like, that's made out of skateboards?
Yes. Right. Okay. Right. I think that's the biggest satisfaction I get. I used to be like, oh, yeah, this is made out of skateboards.
Right.
And be like, oh, that's cool. Like, and now it's more like, this is so cool. Like, look at all these colors.
It's cool. I'll say... It's cool whether it was made out of skateboards or not.
Or exactly.
Yeah.
So I purposely don't want them to look at it and say, oh, that's made out of skateboard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want them to guess, like, what is that made out of? You know?
Awesome.
How are you getting these colors? How are you getting these patterns and things like that?
So you got any kind of things you're thinking about next? Any like big projects that you're planning?
Anything in the works? There's so much.
Like what?
I wish I could build a house out of skateboards, to be honest.
So people go to Instagram, mm-hmm. at Wobi Design.
Yeah.
What are they going to expect to see in the future?
They're going to expect to see more home decor and furniture, I want to say.
Okay.
Furniture. I want to get into more furniture.
Okay.
You know, Chris does an amazing job with furniture and things like that. And so what I've been working on is trying to make a whole sheet of plywood covered with skateboards. So, and then I could start making things out of that. And it would literally look like it's covered with colors and things like that. Let's say I make a bad Larry with a bunch of skateboards.
Whoa.
Do it.
Watch out, Chris.
What's it called?
You know? Watch out, Chris.
Yeah.
Bad Tony.
Hawk.
Bad Hawk, yeah. Bad Tony Hawk. I don't know any Larry skateboarders. Otherwise, I would have said that. But yeah, that would be awesome. Like, I'm lazy. So it sounds cool, but I wish somebody would just give me plywood sheets made out of skateboard. I'd be like, yes, let's work with skateboards now.
Yeah.
Ben, there's your business idea.
I mean, I wish I could
start a
plywood
company.
I had the time to do that, but it's a lot of work.
So here's the hypothetical. Yeah. Here's the hypothetical.
Okay.
If you could have endless amounts of like plywood sheets of skateboards, what would you make with it? Like, what's the dream project? Maybe a house, like, but that takes too many materials.
A house of plywood.
You've just got like maybe 5 sheets, 4x8. It acts like plywood, but it skateboards. What's the go-to project?
You know, if I'm being honest, now that I say it and think about it more, I think it goes back into where it would be awesome at first, but then you would run the chance of it just becoming gimmicky because it would almost be too much.
Right.
Like you would need to find ways to tone it down. So kind of what Ben was saying about like how everybody wants to turn it on end and you see all that stripes, but now he's more interested in keeping the solid looking and then just having like little interesting spots that show off that color. That's probably what would end up happening where you'd be super excited about it at first and be like, okay, I'm sick of looking at this now.
Yeah. Is anybody trying steam bending?
I haven't seen anybody do that, to be honest. But I think since it's alternating grain, even if you have like a very thin veneer of all these laminated skateboards, it's not as flexible as, let's say, a thin just a regular veneer with one grain going through.
Yeah. Because so every, no matter what, it's always going to be working literally the same flat.
Every color is in different, going different directions.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So project idea? Anything?
I don't know. There's so many possibilities, to be honest.
Shuffleboard.
I have
shuffleboard tag.
That's actually a good idea.
Yeah. Talk about use for a long glue up, right?
Yeah.
It would test it out.
Exactly.
It would work out really well.
Awesome. Well, make sure, guys, you go to @WobeDesign on Instagram. We'll also link the YouTube channel once that goes live. Like I mentioned last week in the podcast.
It's live, but it's kind of sad.
It's live. So we'll link that
in purgatory. Go say hi.
Exactly. Go say hi. Yeah. Go subscribe and give them some encouragement to get started. Exactly. Yeah. So, like I mentioned last week in the podcast, links are now clickable in the description. I don't know how long this has been in effect for, but it wasn't when we started.
No, it was not.
So I'm excited
Apple's
about
up
it.
In the game.
They're stepping up their game. So make sure. I don't think we talked about a couple other accounts. We'll leave those linked in the description as well if you want to check out what they're building.
Let's not talk about them.
Oh, okay,
just trust me.
All will be. Awesome.
You can only get so many skateboards. It's too much too soon if you have more than one account.
Exactly.
Just give it to me.
All right. So we're gonna talk obsessions now.
Okay.
And I'm obsessed with something.
Let's hear it.
And I feel bad because I love the Turbo Plane. I love Arbortech as a company. I mean, heck, they're a sponsor. I built some really cool stuff with them.
Mm-hmm.
But Ben had a power carving disc for an angle grinder that I'm not going to say it's going to change the game because I need to see an A and
It'll
B
change the game.
With different materials. But describe it, man. It's like a... I best, I'll do my terrible job of describing it, and then you fill in all the gaps for
it.
Fits on an angle grinder, 4-inch blade. But instead of being bladed, it's got a bunch of little shark teeth on it. And you can get it in ultra rough, rough, fine, and ultra fine. So you've got about five different grits in a way. And instead of being bladed, it's an abrasive.
Right.
So I guess the big upside is you have a less chance of tear out.
So if you think of it like this, flap disc, sand disc is sandpaper.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The Arbortech is more like a planer or a chisel.
Yeah.
You're cutting it into it. Whereas the disc that we're talking about right now, it's more like a file.
Right. And so there's no one company that makes this, right?
Right. There's multiple different companies
making
this.
And we'll leave an Amazon link in the description. A couple that we know of is, it sounds like a medieval...
King Arthur?
King Arthur, yeah. So King Arthur is a company. Another one is Cutsall.
You know what I was going to say? It kind of reminded me of, I've only seen it a little bit and I used it once. It kind of reminds me of like the finest side of your cheese grater.
Yeah.
In a circle.
It's like the cheese can barely get through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a crumbler.
It's like
more
for
than
making
a grater.
Taco cheese.
Yeah, exactly. It's an angle grinder attachment that you can use for power carving. It's like a turbo plane, but it's just different,
right?
It's got different properties. It acts a little different. And we've been using that to scoop out the seat of the stool that Ben and I have been building.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really impressed. I haven't used it on wood, only on plywood. And on plywood, it does great. It doesn't snag too much.
I think that's the biggest benefit compared to the Arbortech because there's going to be less tear outs.
It doesn't care about grain direction.
Right. That's the biggest... reason why I even got that because I was actually trying to make a head mannequin out of skateboards and the skateboards have a lot of end grain, so I didn't want anything to chip out and I don't want to spend days just sanding it down.
Yep.
So I found this on Amazon and I was like, you know what, it's cheaper than Arbortech.
Yeah.
And
it's worth a shot.
It's worth a shot. Yeah. And it actually turned out really great.
Yeah. So it's pretty interesting. We tried out the fine grit, not the ultra fine.
It's like, I think that one's medium.
Oh, it might be medium. But whatever we tried was kind of just like the general purpose one. I'm curious to see what it is, like, how it compares to like a flap disc on ultra fine and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my obsession. It's been pretty cool. Like I said, link in the podcast description if you want to check it out. Anybody want to go? Anybody got something?
I didn't think of anything yet. Let's see. What have I been obsessed with? Ben. What do you got?
Can I say something about I hate?
Ooh.
This obsession segment.
Yeah. I like it. No, I like that. That's
hate
good.
Hate session.
I think people need to stop making river tables.
You know and what? Actually, go ahead.
It just, it's too much.
Too much resin?
I saw a guy making a resin table skateboard. That's not how you do things here. And I saw a guy making a river table rolling pins.
Yeah.
It's just getting out of hand.
It's like beyond function or what? It's just too much?
You know what? It kind of goes back to what we were talking about before where it's a very...
It's trendy right now.
It's trendy, yeah. But it what I was gonna say is like the style of it is very overbearing. Like it's hard to make something that style and then
match that with your
where furniture. Do you go with it? Because yeah. It's such a like strong look to it already.
Yeah.
That if you do so, if you a lot of times I think when you try to push it to that next level, you're probably gonna end up going over the top and it's just like not gonna work anymore. It's gonna be competing designs right. within the same thing that are vying for your interest. So I wouldn't say that people need to stop making it, but I would like to see like what's next. Like what right. subtle twist can you put on it?
I think that's the key. Subtlety.
Yeah. Most, oh yeah, yeah. I think you have to be subtle with something like that because it's already so
right. strong. Showing restraint is what's impressive. Same way as like what you're talking about right, with skateboards.
Right,
like,
right.
Stripes can only be sustainable for so long because stripes are allowed. Yes. And when you see that, that's what you see.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I want to see some like what you're saying is some low key river. Maybe not even river. Maybe it's just like using resin and live edge in a way that's not a river.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's something totally different. You know what I mean?
Right. It's just I just go on my Instagram. All I see is these guys just pouring epoxy in the middle of these river tables. I'm just so sick of it. And I think it's been going on, what, 3 months, 4 months now?
Yeah, it's been
probably a little longer, but it's been going on.
Yeah, it's been really popping for a few months.
Yeah.
All right, so there we go. Let's get some listener call-ins. If anybody's listening
how
to this,
dare you?
And they have strong feelings one
who
way or the
other.
Who's this
new guy and why is he talking crap?
Exactly. I don't know who new Ben is, but get him out of here.
I don't like this one. Throw him in the river.
If you're listening to this and you have strong feelings one way or another, record a voice memo on your phone.
Yes.
Email it to modernmakerpodcast@gmail.com. And I'm not joking here. This is very serious. And we will play them next week.
Yes.
So do your worst. And because that's a good gauge of, you know, our fellow woodworkers. Is the resin stuff overplayed? Is there room for improvement? Yes. Is it just technique? What's cool about it? What's getting boring about it?
Well, I mean, why do you think it's so appealing? Is it because it's a way to get like an interesting look where you're just following a technique rather than like needing to like come up with a new original design? You follow a technique that's going to look somewhat unique just because it's natural things and yours is going to look different than somebody else's. Well, what is it that's so appealing about it?
I think at the base layer, it looks cool, right? Mm-hmm. It's just cool to see epoxy or resin with that kind of water-like glistening look. Like,
you know
it
what
is
else?
Cool on its own.
I think also it's what we're into. It's oversaturated for us, but to the general public, or I don't want to say general public, but people that are more casually into furniture, it's not as saturated yet. So it's still like people are discovering it and being like, holy crap, how did this get made? Or who had this crazy
idea? You guys
idea?
Know who Greg Clausen is?
Absolutely, the inventor of the river table.
Right.
OG.
But he uses glass.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it looks so much more interesting and elegant.
It's a lot more elegant.
It looks like it's supposed to, meant to be played well together.
Yeah. Our boy John Malecki built one really similar to that.
Right.
And there's a YouTube video for that linked in the podcast notes. There we go.
So the original river tables are glass, and then these ones, when they're epoxy, are they just called an epoxy river table?
Or? Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so
I guess it's easier to make it out of epoxy because
I have to say it's most likely it's easier, but it's probably super expensive to have that much epoxy.
It probably, but yeah, you're cutting out a step of like having to cut the negative and then getting the positive to fill in for the glass. The epoxy's naturally just going to fill
it's
in whatever shape.
It's a lot easier to order epoxy online and then fill the void than find a glass cutter that can cut the glass, get the glass that's tinted,
poor
man's and all that
river
kind of
table.
Stuff. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a certain barrier of entry whenever you're using the glass because you've got to use special techniques and you got to find a supplier to do it. So.
You know, though, I think that we still are like kind of early in the game of them where I wouldn't be surprised that it's just taking that idea of like
I've got a couple
inserting
ideas.
Something into wood or surrounding wood with something and then where are people going to take it. So I think there's still some cool ideas that are probably going to come out of it.
My standpoint is don't dump on epoxy tables. I've seen enough river tables. I've seen enough classic river tables. Yeah. I want to see something new and interesting.
That's better warning.
And I've got a couple ideas.
Yeah.
They may be busts. They may be bangers, but we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, so.
I'll let you know for sure.
All right, listeners, let us know. I'm excited. This might be a segment. Wood Talk does this, though, don't they? They have kickback.
Yeah, but I don't think they own the market on just people weighing in on that's whatever their opinion is.
Does Woodtalk even work? Do they do that anymore?
Yeah, they still do it. People respond to
they take so many breaks, though.
We're around.
We record every week, so.
Every week.
The best ability is availability.
Exactly. All right, Chris, give us that obsession. You've had plenty of time to think about it.
I wasn't thinking at all. River tables. I'm obsessed with them.
River.
And epoxy pores in general.
All right, that's going to be it? That's
sure,
your thing?
Why not?
Wow. All right. Well, awesome. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Like we said, make sure to follow us on Instagram. That is at Wobie Design, at Modern Builds, and at Four Eyes Furniture. If you want to follow Ben Ueda, old Ben, a.k.a., you can follow him at Benjamin Ueda. I'm sure he's going to love me calling him old Ben.
He loves it.
If you're not already, make sure you're subscribed on the podcast app. We're trying to get those stats. The more people we have subscribed, the better the podcast app thinks we are.
That's true.
And on that same note, give us a review. 5-star.
Only kind.
Give us a good 5-star review. Let us know what you like about the show. I mean, honestly, we read those reviews. So if you want to tell us what you do and don't like about the show, you know, that's great. And we see all the 5-star reviews. We don't see the 1-star, so there's no point.
Yeah, they don't show up on our feed. Yeah.
Exactly.
So even if you have something bad to say, just leave it in a five-star review.
Yeah.
Make sure it gets to us.
Awesome. Thanks, guys, for listening. Thanks again to Ben.
Thank you for being on the show.
I hope you enjoyed it.
I loved it.
And let us know some guests you want on the show, guys. Shoot us a DM on Instagram. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next time on the Modern Maker Podcast. Bye, everybody.
Later.
Bye.
That's fun.